This morning, as had opportunity to read through Scripture again, I was directed to read out of the prophecy of Haggai. And you might wonder, what in the world's that got to do with Christmas? But this morning, the Lord laid on my heart a message regarding the presence of the Lord. This time of the year, we think about Christmas presents. We think about the things that we get or give to one another, but God gave us a greatest present or gift in the Lord Jesus Christ. And along with that came His presence, the reality of God among us. That the prophecy of Haggai is a prophecy that's given during those days after Israel had been exiled. They'd been thrown out of their own country for disobedience. God was punishing them, but was going to bring them back. And He eventually brought them back into the land, and He directed them to rebuild the temple. But there was opposition from those in the land that did not want it to happen. And so for 16 years after the people came back into the land, they had no temple. It was not finished. And God directed Haggai to preach to the people, to the princes, to the governor, and to say, it is time to rebuild the temple. You've put emphasis on your own homes. You've planted your fields and your crops, and you've gotten your flocks together, and you've noticed none of them have prospered because you've not given me a priority. He said, build the temple. When you have made me priority, I will bring water and rains to your land. He said, and most of all, you will have my presence. My presence will be among you. As a representation of His presence, the temple would be what they could look to and know God was faithful to be among His people. And so when God sent His Son Jesus to this world, He was fulfilling a reality of sending His presence to be with us. I ask you to look with me at Isaiah chapter 9, a very familiar passage, verse 6. And then we will jump back to chapter 7, verse 14, and listen to these words of the prophet. For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders. And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, and Prince of Peace. Back in chapter 7, verse 14, identity of this child is again revealed through the prophet Isaiah. Therefore, the Lord Himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin will be with child and bear a son, and she will call his name Emmanuel. The name Emmanuel, meaning God with us. Let me pray. Father, as we enter into this time of looking into your word for just a few moments, we pray, Father, that you give us insight. Stir our spirits, Father. Help us to hear you as you speak into our lives this morning. And Lord, to experience your presence as we sit before your table. Move in our midst. This will be our prayer in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. In God fulfilling these passages, He did a very miraculous thing, and through the Advent season, we've noted how God sent His angel to a virgin to notify her that she would be with child by the power of the Holy Spirit, that she would bring forth this child who would be given the name Jesus because He would save His people from their sin. The announcement to the shepherds when He was born that unto you has been born this day a Savior. His name is Jesus. You'll find Him wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger. Nothing excited those angels more than to go by response of the message to that little place in Bethlehem and to find the child and the mother just as the angels had said and celebrated within their hearts because they had been in the presence of this King, this Savior that had been sent for them. His presence made a difference. They had simply been working in the fields, but they went back praising God, glorifying Him. Mary was moved and pondered in her heart all of those things that happened. And throughout her life, she watched as God accomplished his purposes through this child of hers. And then Jesus would come to that place where he would offer himself up as a sacrifice. But before he did that, he instituted an ordinance, an observance for us, a remembrance that we might gather together as his family, as those who have trusted God and this deliverer that he has sent, with like minds and like hearts and like hope, that we would gather together and remember the bread, which Jesus said is not just a bread of bitterness as they recalled their escape from Egypt, but his body, which was given up for them. The blood, the juice representative of his blood that would be spilt for them, his death. That was his mission for coming. As a little baby, we celebrate in this tender scene, but the end of his earthly life was nothing to be tender. It was a violent, bloody death. But that was his purpose, to come and pay the price for us, to be God with us. And even after he instituted the supper with those disciples, he spoke some words to them and he said, I will be sending another helper to you, the Holy Spirit, and he will be my presence with you. You see, the Lord God has never desired for us to be without him. He sent his Son, God with us, to come to be God in flesh among us. And Jesus, when he left, he sent the Holy Spirit to come and accompany and assist and be God's presence with us. So that in this moment, on this particular morning, we could gather around his table in his presence. In the prophecy of Haggai, the Lord reminded the people that could remember, this temple that you're rebuilding, is it anything like the former temple, the one that had been destroyed? And they say, no, it wasn't. The former temple was filled with the glory of God, and it was majestic, and it was beautiful. This temple that they rebuilt was far less than that. But the Lord's promise to them was, one day my glory will return. And obviously he's looking forward to a millennial kingdom when he will come. Christ himself will come back and will be in this world and will make his presence known. And all who belong to him will be with him forever. Incredible promises that we find that can be wrapped around this time at the table. There's nothing greater than forgiveness of sin and eternal life, but the accompanying gift of his presence, nothing can replace that. Nothing compares. And so as we come to this table, he assists us to be able to remember. And all of us sitting in this place, we'll be thinking differently about this. It'll be common in its meaning, but we'll all have a different perspective. We'll all have a different experience because the Lord has impacted you in a very special way. When you hold the bread and you think of the body of Christ, it will impact you in a specific, unique way. When you hold the cup with the juice, you will remember his blood in a very specific but unique way to your experience with him. First moment you said yes to him, all the way through till this morning. The way that he's accompanied you and been present with you. I think most of all this morning we can celebrate that God's desire for his presence to be made known to us can be experienced as he is in our midst and helping us to comprehend and to celebrate the great gift that he sent us in his Son Jesus. It is appropriate for us who have admitted our sin, acknowledged that Jesus' sacrifice was the remedy and the payment for that sin. It is appropriate for us to sit in his presence around this table, sharing this ordinance, and to celebrate what he has done for us. In Luke chapter 22, verse 19 through 20, as Jesus shared with those disciples in that setting, he made a couple of statements. And when he had taken some bread and given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And then in verse 21, the same way, he took the cup after they had eaten, saying, "This cup which is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood." We're going to celebrate the faithfulness of Christ. We're going to celebrate the power and the majesty. We're going to celebrate the holiness of Christ, his purity, the sacrifice of Christ. All of these wrapped up in the gift that God gave us in his Son Jesus. The table is the Lord's. It's not First Baptist Church's table. It belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. For it was his body and his blood that were given for us. And so all who have had the experience of humbling their hearts before the Lord, trusting him with their lives and following after him in obedience, have right of access to his table. The Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and I'd ask the deacons to come at this time. Verse 26, he instructed, "As often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. So let a man examine himself and eat of the bread and drink of the cup. It is the conscience of the individual that determines your partaking of this meal, this remembrance." I particularly appreciate that Jesus said, "I will not drink of this fruit of the vine again until I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." Because for that holds the promise that there will be a time when we enter into his presence physically. Don't forget his presence, himself, the promise that he's kept, and the fact that we can experience that presence through this time of observing these elements. Let me pray. Father, as we enter into this time of celebration and remembrance, we thank you, Father God, that you have been faithful through this year, through this morning. And Lord God, that your desire is to commune with us. And you instituted through our Christ the ordinance to be able to sit down and intentionally spend time considering his sacrifice, the purpose for which you sent him. Thank you, Lord, for this great opportunity and privilege. May we rest upon the power of your present Spirit. And Lord God, may you speak into our lives in a powerful way today, that our celebration of the gift you have given us will be enhanced, and we will not be able to do anything except celebrate in a way that honors your name. We pray these things, thanking you in the name of Jesus. Amen.